Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Good to see everyone here who is here. I got a stuffed animal here, and I would open it, but I would probably hurt the feelings of a little girl who is downstairs right now because it's going to be one of her Christmas presents, I believe. It's for Brooklyn, so don't tell her. It's a secret. But Denise let me borrow it because it's a picture, right? It's Jonah. He's being swallowed by that whale. We've been talking about this story of Jonah. And last week, we talked about how are you living your life in light of eternity? Do you think about just this life or do you think about the next life to come? And I think if you were in Jonah's shoes, if you were the one inside the belly of a fish, you would start thinking about the life after this life. I hope you would. I shared a little bit of my near-death experience having Lyme's disease attack my heart and needing a pacemaker put in, and praise the Lord, I'm healed now and I don't need that pacemaker anymore. But after I woke up the next day and I was still alive and I was like, wow, I'm so glad for modern medicine. I'm so glad that I'm still alive. I was thankful to God, and you know what? It made me contemplate life and death and eternity, and it made me want to preach the gospel more because I believe the gospel is a message about eternity and about life and death. And so I think the same thing kind of happened to Jonah. He kind of came to his senses. He got spit out. And we're going to see that in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bible and you want to know where we are, we're in chapter 3. Let me put this somewhere here so you can see it. Here you go. Think about it. If you don't want to look at me, you can look at the fish, the stuffed animal. There you go. So we're in Jonah chapter 3, and we're talking about, you know, this story of Jonah being spit out by the whale. And so this morning I want you to recognize that God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who sent his only son Jesus into this world to die for our sins, that God is a God of second chances. So if you think about anything today, when it comes to my sermon, if you leave here and you're like, what did pastor say? You ever have that where you maybe, you know, your spouse is not here or something, and then they say, hey, what did pastor talk? Do not say, I don't know. Please, make a mental note. That looks bad on me if you can't remember anything I said, and I get to speak to you for a half an hour. You know, that's not just my fault. We're so inundated by messages today. You get 100 messages in one day, you know, whether it be advertisements from the internet or whatever it might be. You know, you're driving in your car and you get messages everywhere. But remember these messages. Not because of me, but because they're from God. They're from His Word. They're important to us. And you need to know these things. Our God is a God of second chances. You need to know that. You know why? Because you're going to mess up. You are going to mess up and you're going to say, I need another chance. And you know what? He's more than a God of second chances. Just that rolls off our tongue fast. He's actually a God of third and fourth and fifth. And Peter was being tested by Jesus. Jesus says, how many times should we forgive? And Peter says, I know the perfect number. It's God's number. It's all throughout Scripture. It's the number 7. So he says, I'm going to say 7, Jesus. And Jesus probably was like, no, like you were close. It's actually 7 times 77. It's as many times as you can forgive is what Jesus is saying. Because we all know that we need forgiveness. We need multiple chances. And no, if you fail God once, you're probably going to fail Him again. And you need to get right back up. So here's Jonah. He's been spit out of the whale. And he's probably, you know, getting the slime off of him. You can imagine. I mean, who here likes to fish? Anybody? Okay, I'm the only one. All right, we've got a few. I like to fish, and we're trying to teach my son this, that when you catch your fish, you got to learn to clean them too. Because if you can't clean them, then somebody else has to do it, and then you won't have very many friends for very much longer because nobody likes to clean other people's fish. You got to learn how to do it. And you make good friends by cleaning other people's fish, I can tell you that much. We used to have, at our previous church, we'd go and have a fishing weekend for men. We'd catch 70 fish sometimes. And you know, everybody loved Bill Gould. I'll tell you why. Bill, he would clean the fish all afternoon up until dinner time. The man is in his 80s, and I'm sure his joints are achy in his fingers and everything, but he just kept going. And I'd get in there beside him and help him out. And I'd get tired as a young man, but he'd just keep going. You know, so you want to make friends learn to clean fish. Don't remember that. Remember that God is a God of second chances. That was a little rant. God is a God of second chances, but when you're cleaning fish, there's slime all over you. Jonah would have been cleaning it off, and as he's cleaning himself off, he's thinking, what now? What now? You ever been in life where you're like, what now? You know, I just survived some kind of traumatic experience, and I'm recognizing that God spared my life. And maybe you've been through a hardship. Maybe, you know, some people, you know, with cancer the way it is today, everybody knows someone who's been affected by that disease. You ever been with someone who's been through something hard like that, and then they're like, now what? Now what? Like, it's a struggle just to live in this life. Now I need to get up and dust myself off, and I have to find a purpose. You know, we have some young people who came on Kingdom Bound with us, and you know, they're that 17, 18-year-old age where they're saying, what am I going to do with my life? You know what? That's not just for young people who are 17 or 18. That's for everyone. You get a second chance. You have the opportunity to say, what am I going to do with my life? Whether you're 6-year-old, like my oldest son, and I ask him, what are you going to do with your life? Or whether you're 86 years old and you're saying, I need to get up every morning and decide to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter. You have a fresh start to every day. So Jonah gets up, slimes himself off, and chapter 3 tells us this. I say slime. The verse before that says that he was vomited out. So I'm being kind when I say slime instead of vomit. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I could keep reading this chapter 3 of Jonah, but I started my sermon and I started with, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and I couldn't keep reading. I had to stop there. Because his grace, God's grace, overwhelms me to think that we get second chances, and I couldn't move from that spot in the scripture. You know, I could preach, I'm going to keep preaching through Jonah, but this verse, just a second time. He already had God speak to him, and he rejected God. He said, God, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I don't want to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. I want to go and do my own thing. And he ran off in a boat, and the people threw him overboard because they recognized that he was a big troublemaker. Listen, we have a world full of troublemakers. We have a society full of troublemakers, and God doesn't just throw them overboard. He picks them up after they've been spit out onto shore, and he dusts them off, and he gives them his word a second time. Do you got a family member who you think, well, I'm giving up on them? Don't give up on them. Jesus never will. Do you have a son or a daughter or an uncle or an aunt, or do you have parents or kids? And you're like, wow, I can't believe where they've taken their life. They reek of vomit. Like, seriously, the verse before tells us Jonah was reeking of vomit, and yet God says, I'm going to speak to that man a second time. I'm not done with him. You know, don't ever give yourself permission to be done with someone. You know, I know we hurt. We are people who are sensitive. We are easily offended. We walk through life and people hurt us. And what we want to do is we want to push them away and say, they don't deserve a second chance. They don't deserve to hear from me or see me a second time. How can you think that when you've met the God who's given you a second chance? See, this is a message for you to know that you can have a second chance. This is a message for anybody in your life where you have been hurt by that person and God's telling you, don't give up on that person. Pray for that person. If you are in a good place in your life, know that there was probably someone praying for you, giving you a second chance. You know, as a parent, I've learned that my children need multiple chances. If you've had good parents, go home and thank them. Thank them for not giving up on you. You know, there are parents who give up on their children. Some parents give up before the child even has a chance in the womb. God loves to give life and life abundant. Jesus says, I've come to give life and life abundant. I want to give you this life. And so he speaks to Jonah. And you see up here, God did... don't just hear from God once in your life. The first time you hear from God is when you respond to salvation. Now, I don't know if you're saved or you're not saved, but that's hearing God from the first time, for the first time. Sam, this morning, got up and said he heard from God to go to the front, to the prayer tent at the Kingdom Bound to respond to that salvation. That's the first time God speaks to you, is when he calls you to be saved, when he calls you and he tells you he wants you to be one of his children. That's you hearing God for the first time. But who knows that God doesn't just stop there speaking to you? What kind of hope is that? Is if you just need to hear God to just get saved, just get converted. These are words that turn the world off from Christians. When we tell people, hey, you need to get saved, convert to Jesus. You know, like, people do not like to hear that. And you know what? It's a part of being a Christian. It's the first step of acknowledging God in your life, but it doesn't stop there. And if we just preach a message of just conversion, we're stopping with the entirety of the gospel. We're stopping the fact that God wants to speak to his people over and over and over again. So yeah, I'm not going to say that people shouldn't be saved or shouldn't get converted. They need to hear God for the first time. But what I'm going to tell you is that this is a message that needs to be repeated, that God speaks to you regularly in your life. He doesn't give up if you stop listening either. He'll keep talking. He's like a nagging parent sometimes. You ever have your mom or dad, when you're young, say, hey, you got to do that? And then they come back, hey, you didn't do that, do it again. And then I was the worst. You know that scripture where Jesus says it's better to say no and then do it than to say yes and not do it? Jesus said that. That was one of the most convicting scriptures for me as a boy, because I would always say, yeah, Mom, I'll do it. And then she'd come back and tell me. And I'm thankful for my mother that she'd keep coming back and keep loving me despite the fact I was a bad child who didn't listen. But God realizes that this is who we are. If God stopped at just salvation, he would not call you and you would have no purpose in your life. You would still have to struggle with your sin because you wouldn't learn to be sanctified. You wouldn't know what it means to be filled with the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience. These are all how God speaks to us in our life. And if he only spoke once, we wouldn't get these benefits. We'd not be discipled and have a purpose and have a vision. So without God speaking more than once, it's just, okay, you get a ticket into heaven. And church, being a Christian is more than just getting a ticket into heaven. It's a blessing of hearing God and him giving a purpose and giving you love and joy and peace. Just know this, Peter needed a second chance. The disciple Peter, one of the first disciples, first Jesus called Andrew and then he called his brother Peter. And he calls Peter and he says, come, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so they threw their net aside. They weren't fishermen anymore. They were fishers of men. And Jesus' whole ministry is making these 12 apostles into fishers of men. And when he goes to die, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. What a great job Jesus did in making Peter a fisher of men. Did Jesus fail? Did Jesus want to give up? No. Mark 16 says, Verse 7, this is after Jesus has resurrected from the grave. He's talking to the women at his grave, and he tells them, but go tell the disciples and Peter. He specifically mentions Peter. He could have just said the disciples, and they could have said, well, what about that Peter guy? Because he's the one who denied you 3 times. But Jesus made a mental note to say, and Peter, insert name here, right? Like, you think you've done too much to offend God? You've said no to him on multiple occasions. God's not going to give up on you. Some people might not like that, right? Like, some people are running from God like Jonah. They're like, well, stop trying to give me this love message of Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. Guess what? Jesus isn't going to stop. He didn't give up on Peter. He's not giving up on you. And then Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and preaches on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. Here's the question. What if Peter never got a second chance? Would you even be here? The day of Pentecost was the day that the church started. The Holy Spirit came on the disciples, and Peter preached, 3,000 are saved. Bang, we have a church to start with to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. If Peter didn't get a second chance, who's going to preach that message? Not to say God couldn't have just picked someone else. I'm sure he could have. But even that person probably needs a second chance because we're all human. So you might say, how do I know I'm going to get a second chance? How do I know I'm not done hearing from God? Listen, you need to listen to his voice. I'm going to go to the scriptures in Mark. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35 to 38, if you want to look it up with me. Here we go. 35 to 38. Verily, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So what do we see there? You want to know you have a second chance? You want to know you can hear from God? What does Jesus do? Jesus has direct communication with the Father, and yet he realizes he has to tune out this world and find a solitary place. Step one, find a solitary place. Get alone with God. If Jesus needed to do it before he could go preach the gospel, who's to say if you think, oh, God's given up on me, well, have you spent some time alone with him to figure that out for sure? It's hard for us to be alone. Most of us don't like being alone. Some people, it's easy. Some people are introverts and they like finding time alone. But here's the truth. You're not alone. There's someone who wants you to talk with him regularly. Jesus needed to be in constant communion with the Father. So my question to you is, when you're looking for God to speak into your life about giving you a second chance, is it a monologue or a dialogue? Do you think you're just talking to him, or are you listening back? Because I find often people are like, well, I prayed, I gave it a chance, didn't work. Are you listening? Are you listening? Here are some ways that you can know you are listening to God. First of all, are you getting into his word, the Bible? This is how he primarily speaks to all of us. If what you hear God saying to your conscience or speaking to your heart, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's probably not him. The Bible tells us to test the spirits, to make sure that when we hear from him, we're hearing it and it lines up with his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." You want to hear from God? Get into his word. His word will speak to your heart. Second, the church. You need the church. I'm not just a preacher because I like getting up in front of people and speaking to people. It used to terrify me to do this, to get in front of people to speak to. I believe that I was called to be a preacher because of the church. I saw a need for you to be here on a Sunday morning, and not just a Sunday morning, because this is one place we gather. If anything, this is more just a monologue of me sharing with you. You need to be a part of a church where you can feel that you're heard too. And so this church, we make sure that if you're a part of it, you have the opportunity to be a part of small groups where you can share back and forth with people. We have a greeting time so you can feel welcomed by other people. You know, I hope you come to the park this afternoon. We create opportunity for more fellowship. Why? Because we need people who speak into our lives, who are part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 tells us, "Now you are part of the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." You want to hear from Jesus? You need his body to speak into your life. You need to allow the lips of Jesus, which are part of his church, to speak into your life. That means you need to be able to listen to other people around you. You know, it's so easy to go and hear teachings about whether it be the Bible or things in your life on the internet nowadays. You can go and hear whatever you want and get the tingling of your own ears to say, oh, I really want to hear this teaching or that teaching. But you know what coming to church does? It allows people who know you, know your context, know your situation in life, know your troubles, and come and pray over you and speak into your life. The church is important, people. Jesus said that it's through the church that he's going to build his kingdom, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So he loves the church. Jesus died for the church. Yes, he died for the individual Christian, but he died for the collective. And his last prayer is that we would be united and be one body. So the church is important in terms of you hearing from God into your life. The church is the answer to your second chance. Often people are off on their own. They recognize they need a second chance. They come to church for a second, and then they leave again. Listen, if you really want to take advantage of getting a second chance from God, you need to allow people of the body of Christ to speak in your life. So next, life circumstances. I don't know if you have this like I do, but when I got Lyme's disease, I really felt God speaking to me. Sometimes you have these random, weird coincidences that happen in life. I told people that, I'm sure if you've been listening to me preach at all, you've heard that I thought that God was speaking to me through the rain, and there's been a lot of it lately, and I said, God, I've heard, hopefully that's enough rain, but, you know, I can tell you more about that if you want to ask me later. But life circumstances, you might have circumstances that line up where you really feel that God is leading and guiding you. Stuart tells, he's in the back there, if you ever want to talk to Stuart, the guy who's got a beard, last week he shared about playing the role of Jesus in the Mark drama. Ask him about the circumstances of how he got to where he is in his career. He happened to get his education by going home at the perfect time that someone was calling for the last spot for him to be a part of. He tells it way better than that, but I'm just giving an abbreviated version. But that's the type of thing that I'm talking about, where God leads and guides our steps, and that's how he speaks into our life. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. God can work any circumstances in your life to speak to you. Next, God can speak to you through dreams and visions. Acts 2:17, Peter giving that message that I was just talking about, where he preaches on the day of Pentecost, he quotes Joel chapter 2, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. God wants to speak to his people, and he's not afraid to do it while you're least conscious. He's willing to get all the distractions away from you, and you're laying in bed, and he gives you a dream or he gives you a vision, because he wants to speak to you. And sometimes he's got to get you in a quiet place. If you're not going to go and find a quiet place like Jesus did, sometimes he'll wait for you to be quiet and laying in your bed before he ever speaks to you. And so if you're getting some weird dreams or weird visions, that's very biblical. You know, Joseph, Daniel, lots of men in the Bible experienced dreams, visions, and guess what? God was speaking to them, and he still chooses to do so today. So if you're having some weird dreams, visions, you can go back to point number 2, which is the church. Tell someone in the church, and maybe they'll help you figure those things out. And use point number 1, which was the word, to help discern whether it's true and accurate. Number 5. Is audibly. Now, this can be someone prophesying, which is to speak mysteries. The gift of prophecy is to speak mysteries. Tongues, which is speak in a language that you don't know how to speak in. Or even, dare I say, people hearing a voice from heaven. Now, if you hear a voice from heaven, don't all of a sudden check yourself into a mental institute. Share it with someone in the church. You might be crazy, you might not be. You might actually be hearing from God, because God does speak to people audibly. The little boy Samuel, do you remember Samuel in the Old Testament? He's laying down and he hears someone say, Samuel, Samuel. And so he gets up and he goes to the priest Eli and he's like, here I am. And it happens 3 times before Eli's like, okay, listen, I'm not calling you. This is the Lord. All you have to say is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Listen, God can speak audibly. I think a lot of times he doesn't in today's North American culture, because we are so afraid and God doesn't want to scare us. He wants to know that he loves us. But listen, if you open yourself up to say, hey, God, I'm open to everything for you to speak into my life, maybe I know people who do hear from God audibly, and I don't think they're crazy. It's good to check, though, if you are hearing voices, it's good to check. Again, it's got to line up with his word. It's got to work within the church. It's got to, you know, be real in your life. Point number six, the last point I have here to know if God can speak back to you, that you're getting this second chance that he wants to give, and you've prayed to him about the second chance, and he sometimes will give you signs and wonders. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 says, God also testifies to it, that is the gospel. He testifies to his gospel by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. You know, you see a miraculous healing in someone's life, don't say it's a coincidence. Recognize God could be speaking to that person, giving them a second chance. You see something weird, I don't know, like the Bible is a weird, you read the vision of Ezekiel, he sees a wheel within a wheel, you know, like, I don't know, signs and wonders. God can do whatever he wants to do to show himself powerful in your life, to say, hey, I'm calling out to you. Do you need a second chance? I want to give it to you, but you need to start listening. You need to start listening. So this is what this whole message is about. Are you listening? Are you taking advantage of the fact Jonah, he was spit out of this whale, he was given a second chance, and you have that same second chance too? Do you need the word of God to come to you a second time? Do you need a second chance? Are you hearing from him regularly? You might be like, Pastor, I'm all on board. I want a second chance. I know I have a second chance. I know I got a third, a fourth, a fifth chance, but I can't hear. Are you tuning in to his word? Are you listening to the people in your church? Are you aware of your life circumstances where God might be leading and guiding you? Are you open to having a dream or a vision be interpreted? Maybe someone's speaking to you audibly in your life, and maybe that's God. And maybe he's willing to give some signs and wonders to you as well, but you need to believe that God might be doing these things in your life. When was the last time you heard from him? Are you seeking him? I'm going to close with another prophet, not Jonah, but Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had the word of the Lord come to him a second time as well. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 to 3 says this, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I'm going to read that last part here a second time. This is the important part here, the bottom part. Call to me. This is God speaking to Jeremiah a second time, and he says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Are you open? Are you like is God, I'm sure God's ringing your phone. Are you answering it? Are you picking it up? Are you willing to have him speak into your life? Why would God give you a second chance unless he really desires to speak to you and communicate to you? I don't know what your life circumstances are. I don't know if you have church people in your life regularly who speak into your life. I don't know if you're reading the Bible or you're having weird dreams or visions, or even if you have voices speaking to you or some signs and wonders. But listen, God desires to give you those. He desires that you hear from him regularly. The easiest way is start reading this book and being open to the other stuff too. You start reading this, then when you start hearing the other stuff, it makes sense. When someone in your church comes up and tells you something, you're like, oh, wait, I read about that. When you have a strange dream, you're like, oh, I read about that. When someone who you've never met before bumps into you and does something for you, and you're like, wow, I read about that. Maybe God really does care. Maybe he really wants to have a big say in your life. Maybe it's more than just a monologue with God where you give your rants to him, but it's a dialogue where he speaks directly back into your life and changes your life. I know he's done it for me. I know that he's done it for some of you, but he's willing to do it regularly. Do you believe it, church? That's good to hear some amens, to know that you guys want God speaking in your life. I'm going to pray for that right now. Father in heaven, I just ask that just like Jonah, when he ignored your word the first time, you gave him a second chance to hear your word another time. And Lord, you desire to speak into our lives at any moment. You want us to call upon you. And you want to tell us of great and unsearchable things. You want us to hear from heaven. And Lord, I just think how often you want to speak, but we don't want to listen. And so, Lord, I just pray for us right now that we would have ears to hear and hearts to listen. Lord, help us observe the things that are going around us and the things that are coming into our minds and into our hearts that Lord, you might be telling us. And Lord, forgive us anytime we've grieved your spirit by ignoring you or pushing to you the fringe of our life to not let you come and sit on the throne of our hearts as Lord, because that is your desire. Forgive us for that, Lord. But I pray that if there's anyone wanting a second chance in terms of their faith, anyone wanting to hear from God regularly, Lord, I pray that you would hear their call to you right now, Lord, and that you would speak to them. Give them dreams. Give them visions. Give them signs and wonders, Lord. Give them a church family who will speak into their life. And give them your word, Lord. Help them to understand it. Holy Spirit, help them interpret it with wisdom, Lord. And help them to know it in their hearts that it is true and that it is good for their teaching and for their training and for their life, Lord. Help them to know you more and speak to you more regularly. Lord, I pray for the vision of this church, Lord, that we would be known as a church who hears regularly from God. Lord, we're asking as a church for a vision, for a purpose, for direction in the coming year. Lord, we want to know where you want to take us as a community of faith. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a church who can hear from you. Lord, that all the leaders of the church, whether they be the board members or the ministry leaders, Lord, that we would get a clear signal from which direction we are to take this church, how to grow it, how to minister to our community, how to love our neighbors as ourselves. But Lord, I pray that you would give us those dreams, you would give us those visions, you would use your word to correct us, and that, Lord, that we would know that you are the God who plans our paths. Thank you for the second chance you continually give us. We always need it. Come with a second word for this church, a third word for this church, a fourth word. Lord, speak regularly to us. Give us a new word every morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.